Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and if you are here with us, then you know about our new time and our new day on LA Talk Radio for Dr. Pat Allen on the Air Empowered Communications. Tonight we have with us our Chief Financial Officer for the One Institute, and a thanks goes out to the One Institute for sponsoring the show. Sue Wagner, what's going on?
After the radio show here, we have a live webinar. Attendance will be, I'm stopping attendance at 5:30. You can sign up on the Want iStore, www.wantiStore. It's $10. And Dr. Allen will be taking six people that have already pre-signed up for the hot seat. And she'll answer their questions, and then everybody will get a recording of that as well. It's kind of the same as what the radio show is, but it's a little longer. It'll be an hour and a half. And we have another one scheduled for Thursday, October 27th, so you can register. And we have some classes. We have a dream class. The November one is full. I have a December 17th dream class in which Dr. Allen will help the students interpret their dreams. It's in the Newport Beach office from 9 to 4, and it's $100. It's limited to six people, so you'll get a lot of individual attention. And then we have the Life Script class going on. The Life Script class, I have two openings on the December 3rd class. It's in the Newport Beach office from 9 to 4, and it's $150, and it's limited to six people. We will have monthly dream class and life script class posted for the 2017 year as well. And I've been getting a lot of requests for the people wanting the life script online in a webinar. Unfortunately, the material's too personal to have it be available for a webinar. If you want your life script read and you live out of the area, Dr. Allen is happy to do a personal one, and it's the same fee as an office visit. Generally takes about an hour.
They do that over the phone?
Yes, they do. We send them a questionnaire, and then we set it up, and they do a telephone appointment. It takes about an hour to read a life script. So if you're interested in having your own personal life script read, in which Dr. Allen will go over what a life script is in a minute, you can email the office, and I'm happy to give you the information and paperwork. With that, we also have a lot of requests for the high buy letter. We are going to put the format on our website in the next couple of weeks, and then monthly we will have a webinar that you can call in and have your high buy letter read and approved by Dr. Allen. It will be limited to probably six to eight ladies, and I believe the fee will be like $40, which is cheaper than calling in and having a private appointment. So as soon as we get that up and running, it should be up in the next 2 weeks, probably in November, we'll have the date available.
You'll be able
to register.
Yeah, because we can't really do the hire by letters on the air here at the radio show. We just don't have enough time for that. So
yeah, and you need a little bit more one-on-one than just a quick thing, because it's an important letter. So we're offering that on a webinar as well to six ladies once a month. So if you want information to get on a list before reservation, you can always email me at the office at info@drpatallens.com. That's it for me.
Okay, one more question. We've already had our Monday and Wednesday night for October, but what's our dates for November, Sue?
Okay, the next one is Monday, November 5th at the Courtyard Marriott. The address is 6333 Bristol Parkway in Culver City. It's next to the Westfield Mall off the 405 freeway. It's $10 admission at the door. The time is from 7 to 9. There is plenty of free parking along the street, or you can park in the hotel parking lot and we'll give you a validation for $5 parking. And then the Orange County seminar is Wednesday, November 2nd from 7 to 8:30, and it is $5 admission, and it's at the Costa Mesa Community Center, 1845 Park Avenue. It's in Costa Mesa, and these are both no reservations required. Just show up. We do have spaces when you come early. You can sign up for the hot seat there and have Dr. Allen work with you one-on-one as well. And then we also have the webinar we're doing. It's the same kind of an example for the people that live out of the area. They can do a webinar hot seat, and that's tonight at 6:15. And I'm closing the reservations at 5:30. So if you want to attend, you better sign up online.
Okay, 5:30. So that's really just a few minutes. We just only have about 20 minutes for that. So if you want to sign up, everybody, I highly encourage you to do so. So, Dr. Allen.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Thank you. I like being on the air.
So how was your week and how's everything in your world?
Well, as you know, my schedule for working is changing. I'm changing hours and things, and I'm finding that I'm having time to do things which I haven't been able to do, like play the piano, do some in-depth housekeeping. You know, people think that people who have radio shows don't do housekeeping, but I'm from the Midwest. I'm not used to housekeepers. I'm used to polishing my own stuff. So
I understand that because I, of course, too, am from the Midwest.
And?
Yeah, Kansas. We do our own stuff. We take care of our own business.
Right.
So we have a question right off the bat.
What's that?
It's a pretty good one. It says, dating a guy and then he goes away. Why does he go away?
You're asking me?
Yes, I am.
Well, the most usual answer is if you're dating a Pat Allen girl, and I've had somebody put an ad in, a man put an ad in one of those kind of let's put it this, dating magazines wanted a Pat Allen girl. Well, a Pat Allen girl is being trained to be virtuous sexually, which may not fit into the new hookup world. So very often when a man finds out that you're virtuous, he diverts to he wants variety in his sex life, or he doesn't want commitment. So you are too expensive. He wants to play more than build.
Ah, so the price tag is entirely too high for whatever he thinks he's receiving.
Yes, and he has a right to be a player. He has a right, to play hookup, but it is not conducive to building a relationship, either mated, which is non-legal marriage, or marriage, which is legal mating.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to interject this. If you guys have any questions, you know you can call us at 323-203-0815. And here we have another question. Dr. Allen, the first date was great, and the guy asked me out for a second date. I said yes. He texts me chatty texts like, how are you? And things like that. But no talk of the date. Can I contact him to confirm since he didn't confirm?
Well, he may be playing bait and switch, which happens to be, I'm going to dingle dangle in front of you, and then I'm going to hope you will take the responsibility of coming after me. I recommend you don't do it. Here's the rule, Pat Allen. So it's every contact, call, text, email, is worthy of 8 weeks of passive, patient, vulnerable, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I do approve of rituals, like if his birthday shows up or it's a holiday of some kind, you have my permission to send him a cute little card or message on, you know, a computer message, because that's not pursuing him romantically.
Mm-hmm.
That's a ritual stroke. So what I'm afraid might be happening is he may be setting you up for a bait and switch, a little bit of teasy, flirty, and then drop back and wait for you to chase him.
Ah, makes sense. Okay, we've got another one for you. Wow, this is really an interesting one too, Dr. Allen.
Okay.
Here's what it says. Dr. Allen, you say do not let that magic wand in. So my question is, if a man puts his fingers inside you, does that count as intercourse and cause bonding, or is it just that magic wand that counts?
It's just that magic wand. Now, fingers and toys, that's what they have, you know, adult stores for.
Mm-hmm.
So toys are toys. And what I believe is, when a woman allows a man to have intercourse, which means oral, anal, or vaginal intercourse,
mm-hmm.
she's making a statement of surrender that gives him a free woman, a free lover, a free wife-acting human being. And see, you don't bond when you're doing intercourse or playing. You bond when the chemistry is there.
Mm-hmm.
And the chemistry is there within the first 3 to 4 minutes, whether you're in church sitting next to him or wherever you are. When you pick up his pheromones, those are the chemical smells that emanate from human beings and are exchanged. They go through the mouth, through the palate, to the Jacobson's organ, which would be like the third eye in Indian culture. If you picture mm-hmm. that little red dot, that's where the Jacobson's organ is. And then we now know through some magical autopsies that it divides into two strands. One strand goes to the neocortex in the front of your brain, which makes a decision, I want him. And the other strand goes to the pituitary, where it stimulates a release of the bonding hormone called oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't intercourse that bonds you. It's the pheromones, but it's the intercourse that indicates you've agreed to be his woman.
Right.
You women premenopausally bond.
Right.
But women postandropause don't bond. Men what do they call that when men go?
Oh, andropause.
Pre-andropause men, that's men up to about 45, they don't bond. They fall in love, but that's a mental decision based on compatibility, communication, and chemistry when it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but men over 45, which is peri-andropause, like we have perimenopause, when they go into peri-andropause, the estrogen in their body starts to make them more sensitive, more loving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, that's why he bonds to the hard body gold digger's younger one and ends up losing his family, his money, and very often his health. I just saw an ad on radio or TV. Don't exercise when you're angry. Well, that adds to a piece of data that I know about the Takotsubo cardiomyopathy heart attack, because when you're betrayed or dumped by somebody you were bonded to, it can easily set your heart up to flood with fluid and to go into a heart attack. So I warn anyone on this recording, on this phone, on this, you know, what do they call that recording that we do? Packing?
Podcast, radio cast.
Anyway, I'm warning you that if you have been betrayed by someone you love, child, parent, whatever, and your heart starts to hurt, please go to an emergency ward, because it's the beginning. If you live through it, you'll be okay. But if you don't, your heart may go into a massive heart attack.
Wow.
So
that's really...
Bonding begins with pheromones and ends with physical connectedness. And you know what they're doing now in children with autism?
Oh, what's that?
They're giving their parents or teachers or whoever sprays of autism.
Really?
Oxytocin. Oh, oxytocin, okay. Not autism. Kids with autism, or I would imagine adults with autism, or Asperger's syndrome,
mm-hmm.
They're giving sprays of oxytocin, which is often called the cuddle hormone.
Oh, okay.
To enhance intimacy.
So they bond better.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I think that, bonding process, and as a matter of fact, they're doing it now in hospitals in the United States and been doing it in hospitals in Europe for
some
time.
What are they doing?
They're doing these bonding sessions right after delivery, and then about every 2 to 4 hours, where they lace the baby skin to skin on the mother without nursing or anything like that, just the contact for
That's right.
The bonding. So I thought it was really interesting, because my daughter recently had a baby and they were doing that. I thought it was really great, because, you know, in the olden days, they just took your baby and just boom, put it in an isolette and put it in a different room. And I think that inhibited the bonding process sometimes.
And daddies need to bond too. They change, their hormones change when their wives get pregnant, and they become more vulnerable to feelings.
Hello?
Hi. Oh, caller, are you there?
Here.
Hi, yes. Caller.
I'm on the line? Okay.
You're on the air.
You're on the air. I can hear you.
Great. So about a week and a half ago, I messaged on Instagram a man I knew back in school, and I said, hey, I don't know if you remember me. I just thought I'd let you know, like, I was inspired by you. And then I left with a little winky face. He immediately wrote back and he was like, I'm having trouble remembering you. Did we hang out? And I said, no, we didn't. We had friends in common. And then I haven't heard from him the last week and a half. And I'm wondering if I have to do that whole 8-week thing or if it's a lost cause or,
Well,
I wanted to hear
you did a date, not a date set up. You did a friendship set up, but you were pursuing him, and it doesn't sound like he remembers you. It doesn't sound like he has a reason to ask you of anything. But did he somehow get your phone number when you called, or a text, an email? Does he have a contact point?
I found him on the Instagram, and I messaged him.
But does he have a contact vehicle to reach back to you?
Yeah, the messenger thing. Yeah.
Then he's got 8 weeks to scrounge around your yearbooks and to talk to his friends. Do you remember when? 8 weeks, please.
Okay.
And then, all right.
I mean, and then do I just say like a hi again after that? I don't think I'd write the whole letter.
No, you don't. You don't do anything. You just wait for him to do something with you. That's why I asked if there was a contact. So he has the ability to reach back to you. And that means if he doesn't, he's gone.
Okay.
But if he reaches, but if he reaches out to you, make sure you respond.
Absolutely. As soon as you get it.
Okay, yeah.
Okay?
All right, great. Thank you so much. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, so we have another question. And it says, Dr. Pat, you said we're always attracting the people who will teach us the lesson.
Absolutely.
Why do I feel so attracted to artistic men? Is there something about their self-expression that I find irresistible? How do I find this lesson for me? What is the lesson in this for me?
What I'm hearing is, since men create with their feminine soul, the anima, book on that is the Yin-Yang Way of Life by Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee, and women create with their masculine soul, whether it's babies, houses, floral arrangements, or whatever, you know, supermom, the animus is the soul of a woman. If you're attracted to creative men, my suspicion is that you were raised by your dad particularly, who's the important Freudian Electra parent for a woman, to like men that are feminine, yin-based. That's fine, but that is what you're there for. So if I were to say you like the sensuous sexual part of a man, and you would have to be with a man who likes the fact that you're an independent lady who probably has a job and can do her own life, doesn't need him. She can allow him to create his music. Did you see Bob Dylan got a Nobel Science Award for poetry today? How's that for creativity?
Oh, he's very creative.
I know, but, you know, Nobel Science, whatever.
Pretty amazing.
That's pretty amazing. So I would guess, dear one, that your daddy would walk in the room and say, how did you do today, rather than how did you feel about what you did? And I would be willing to bet you that if you're interested in artistic men, that probably their mother or their older sister or a sister in school or something, a nun in school, would say, how did you feel today? Because men create off their feminine, and they often go with women that create off their masculine so that they fit together.
Oh,
if a man, what?
I think we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Oh, okay.
Yay! Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
I had a question about the high bye.
Okay.
I got dumped. And he sent me a couple of texts, and I responded, and then I sent him a ritual text. So is it 8 weeks after when I contacted him for a ritual, or 8 weeks after when he contacted me?
He. When he contacted you.
Okay. So we don't count the one I did.
We have an upcoming webinars on the high bye letter.
We do.
Sue, are you there?
I am.
Could you give us another rundown of the high bye letter? And let me just interject, if anybody wants to go to the webinar after the show, 5:30 is fast approaching, 6 minutes before Sue closes that out.
What it is Dr. Allen will be having a webinar mid-November. We'll give you the format on how to write the high bye letter, and then you could pay a fee. I believe it's going to be $40 and have your letter read to Dr. Allen, and she'll give you a little bit of counseling. Or you can always call the office and have a private appointment to have it read as well. So that's what we have going on.
Okay. I had one more quick question. May I?
Sure.
I have duty dated for a while, and now I'm at the point, like, if you feel chemistry within the first 5 minutes, and yes. it's essential to have chemistry, then why should I go on two or three dates with somebody if I know within 5 minutes whether I'm going to be attracted to them or not?
The reason that you date three men, I ask women and men to date three people because one is prematurely monogamous, two is either or, and three is diversification, which is a natural part of sexuality for human beings. So when you're chemically attracted to somebody, you're doing yourself not a favor by not continuing to date other people. Not that you're putting out bulletins on websites that you're dating other people. It's just you want to be distracted so that you don't get so needy and emotional that you're caused to chase him and jump on the phone and turn him off. Because the only man that wants to be chased is basically a feminine man who doesn't want to be a man.
Okay. I meant like you date three people, but one man, like after three dates, you tell him, I'm not interested in you.
Well,
that kind of thing.
Is that true? If you don't have chemistry in three dates, you don't have any, then you say, I've enjoyed the dates we've had, but I don't have romantic feelings and I don't want to use you, and I don't want to take advantage of you. So if you want to date me, consider it friendship.
Well, if you know in 5 minutes whether you're sexually, chemically attracted to them, then why do you have to take three dates? Like, why would it develop when you know within 5 minutes?
I'll tell you why. I would love to have a dollar for everybody on this show all over the world. I'd love to have a dollar for women who didn't think he was her type. She picked with her eyes and he wasn't cute enough, when in fact he was a wonderful human being, because Harvard did the study that said 2/3 of women want status and financial stability. 1/3 want sensual and sexual. I'd love to have a dollar for every woman who dated a man one time and said, no, he's not my type. I want cuter. And she continued to date him 2 and 3. And lo and behold, he became attractive to her. She had been picking men with her eyes, which is masculine, instead of her ears. For character and gentleman and humor and status and all kinds of things. So duty dating is there to protect you from dumping a man that really ended up compatible more than Mr. Cutesy. It gives you a chance.
Okay, so I generally pick with my ears, but and if they're treating me really, really good,
yeah,
and I don't want to kiss them though. So, like that, you're saying that I can develop that sexual attraction to them over time, even though
no, he can deflower you, he can court you, he can stroke you, he can. A good man can be a good lover. That can melt you physically. You see?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever had a man court you sensually and sexually?
Yes.
And did you end up feeling more sexually attracted when he did it?
Yes.
And would you do it some more? I say give him three shots. I say give him three shots.
Okay.
Now, here's a caveat that I give that is very sad and very, very painful. If a girl has been prematurely sexualized by someone, before her first period, she very often equates defloration or courtship with molestation. Therefore, she'd rather pursue them than be pursued, but it's more of a pathology than it is normality. Have you been sexually stimulated by a human being, man or woman, before your first period? Yes or no?
No.
All right. Then it's normal. Then it's you don't feel romantic chemistry for this human being, but you gave them three shots.
Yeah. Like, I get mad because they're like the perfect, they're treating me great, they're, you know, doing all this great stuff, and I,
but you don't have
to make myself.
I know that. Therefore, I still say date them three times to make sure that they are not actually chemically attractive for you, but you haven't experienced them the three times.
Okay, thank you.
But don't use him. That's what I want.
I'm not. That's why I feel guilty about, because, you know, by three days they like you. They've already dropped $500.
No, two and three. They didn't drop $500. They went after what they wanted, which is manly.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Colin.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. So that's very interesting. We have another question here. And the question is this. Dr. Allen, through my teenage years, my young adulthood, and my life as a married woman, I did not have a strong sexual appetite. At 47 years old, my mate divorced me. And for the last 18 months, I have been what you would term as a horn dog. I can't get enough sex, and I am completely promiscuous. I have heard your broadcasts and know that you talk about being molested before your first period. I don't have any recollection of that, anything like that in my life. Am I a hyper, I don't know if she got this right, adrenalized, sexualized female like you talk about?
I would refer you to an EMDR therapist whose name you can get from Austin, Texas EMDR headquarters, and see if that person can talk to you to the point where you may or may not get in touch with the molestation incident.
Mm-hmm.
Because for you to be married to a man for 20 some years and then become a horn dog, I know there's safety in not having sex with somebody that you're not chemically attracted to, but that in addition to the promiscuity after you got free and divorced just lends itself to me recommending that you call or write or check out the EMDR headquarters in Austin, Texas, and they will send you the names of therapists in your area that you can interview and perhaps see for a couple of times to see the reason that you weren't sexual while you were married and you're a horn dog now that you're not married. That sounds suspicious to me. And there's a book by Arthur Janoff, and it's called The Biology of Love, which is the misuse of sexuality.
Wow, okay. I hope that our gal was listening in to the show tonight, so she heard that. Oh, we've got a call coming in. And hello, caller. Hello, caller, are you on the air? Caller. Well, hopefully our caller will show up here in a minute.
Okay. Yeah, I think they, yeah, they have to know that.
I'm not in right now, but if you leave a...
that the station calls you back when you call. They get confused. They sit on the line, I think, and then at the call back.
Yeah, we've told them and we've posted it, but maybe they don't understand. So yeah. Callers, when you call in to ask a question, the station will call you back so that you can be connected to
us. Most of them will ignore the
call.
Please
leave your message.
Anyway, if you call in and you get the station and we're going to call you back, what you need to do is answer your phone and not let it go to voicemail. Okay. So let's see what else we've got here in our little bag of tricks. Okay, gay man. I am a gay man, and I'm flamboyantly gay.
Hello. Maybe,
oh, hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Jennifer.
Great. Do you have a question?
I do. My first question is, I've been doing work in the Pat Allen staff since June. I feel very called to your work, Pat Allen.
Good.
And I'm noticing the power of it. So my first question is, it kind of reminds me of the movie Duty Dating, the guy I first met when I was working your steps. Within 1 week, he had taken me on 3 dates. And by literally 2 weeks, he was asking me to be his girlfriend. But the problem was he wasn't right for me. He was a little bit toxic. He reminded me of my ex. And I'm just wondering, how can we still be feminine and still really inquire if the person's right for us in that beginning courting stage?
You can say what the truth is, which is I'm still contaminated by my ex. But if you want to deflower me, if you want to court me, it may happen.
Okay. And so
based on he reminded you of your ex.
Right, but I think it was more that our sexual chemistry was so good and that I kind of went to the apartment too soon and it was confused the man.
Well, did you have intercourse with him?
No, we did not have intercourse. I told him that I did
do
casual sex.
You didn't confuse him.
I almost felt like he was saying, yeah, I'm in, let's do this, be my girlfriend, because he wanted sex. You know what I mean? So it was almost like
that's
I thought...
That's common.
Yeah, yeah. So how prevent the rushing?
You don't prevent that. You just say, I appreciate you want to have sex with me. I want to make love, and I only make love when I'm in a committed marriage or mated-bound relationship. You tell him the truth. You don't get mad at him for being a man.
No. I understand that part. But what I'm saying is he gave that to me. He gave me commitment. But I don't think I was still ready yet.
I got news for you. Then you say, thank you for asking, but I'm getting over an old relationship and I'm not ready to go into a new committed relationship. You tell the truth.
Okay.
Just
say,
because
somebody
asked you to have intercourse doesn't mean you give it to them.
No. I know. But it was like everything you say to do worked. He was he became my boyfriend in the matter of 2 weeks.
Did you want it not to work?
No, it was. I think I just didn't know the guy yet, so I don't think I was ready to say be my boyfriend.
I already said, if you're not ready to commit, tell him I'm getting over another relationship, and if you're willing to wait and date me, court me, maybe we can get it. Because, see, what you're saying, if I don't have chemistry right now, that's too hard. That's too tough.
No, I think it was more that the chemistry was so strong that it lured us into this commitment that we weren't ready for because I didn't actually know that compatibility wasn't right.
You did not have intercourse with him.
We did not, but we almost did. It was,
hey, wait a minute. There is no such thing as almost. That's like being almost pregnant. It doesn't.
Well, we were in his bed.
You understand that you turned down an offer for a good deal because of the pain and the scare of pleasure. Are you a pain?
Maybe. That could be possible, but I honestly think it was more that I didn't see that he wasn't right for me because I was so blinded by this whole get him to
wait
be my
a
boyfriend.
Minute.
Get you know?
Wait
yeah.
a minute. What? You didn't have intercourse. You did nothing. Did you run him off?
I think what happened was
Did you run him off?
What does that mean?
Does that mean you said, no, I don't want you, goodbye?
Basically, to sum it up, your tools are so powerful
that I got a man committing to me who I didn't really want. Okay, all right. You're doing
you
the fourth thing.
He wasn't right for me.
I got news for you. He was right for you physically. You were not passive, patient, and vulnerable to see if he was right for you mentally and emotionally. I want to know, are you afraid of pleasure, commitment?
Possibly. I think it was more that I just want, I want to be with a man who's right for me, not just sexually good. I want it to be
the right person. I want to change this. I want to talk to somebody else. You're not hearing what I'm saying.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Then do you want to hear what I'm saying?
Yes, I absolutely want to hear what you're saying.
The man asked for sex. You said no, which was appropriate. All you had to do was date him until you found out if that was accurate. Did you date him 3 times?
Yes. We went on 3 dates in 1 week.
Okay, you went on 3 dates in 1 week, and the chemistry was there. Then why did you say no to him?
Because every single time we would go out, he would talk really negatively about his ex-wife and his sister, and I noticed a bitterness that he, an unforgiveness that he hadn't
healed yet. You understand that it wasn't that he asked for sex, it's that he wasn't compatible with you attitudinally.
Exactly. We weren't compatible.
All right. Now
we had
everything's okay. You got rid of somebody that you weren't compatible with. Well, don't blame
it
on the...
But I confused the poor guy. I mean, I put him through a 24-hour night of confusion.
Dear, I know how much you want to be abused by me. You want me to say bad things to you. The only thing I want to say to you is, please, when you have chemistry for somebody, give them enough dates to show you the moral, ethical, legal. You ended it because he was that. But please, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I've said my piece. Will you give men the chance to let you know who they are?
Right. And so what's your best advice on how to do that? Go slower?
There's nothing to go slower on. You're not having intercourse.
Right. So maybe I just have to recognize that I'm way too sensitive, that even just kissing and making out and everything.
Remember one of the tools. Sir, I have something to say to you that may feel critical. Is it convenient for you to hear me? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I appreciate you gossiping about your ex and your sister and whatever, but it's turning me off. So if you want to turn me off, it's getting the job done.
Okay.
Got it?
Interesting. Yeah, got it.
Good. Okay.
And just really quickly, one last thing.
No, that's it. I want to talk to the gay man.
Thank you, caller. Here's what he says. He says, Dr. Allen, I'm gay. I'm flamboyantly gay. Hello, caller, are you there? Okay, I thought we might have another caller. He says, and I believe I've fallen in love.
Fine.
So how do I know if it's real?
If you make and keep agreements. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are to make and keep agreements. We're going to be monogamous, we're going to be continuous, and we're building a relationship that will help us live our lives in a better way.
Okay, here's the second part. He said, the reason I'm asking this is because my friends have always said to me, you're a playa. This can't be real because you, it's just not you. You're entirely too flamboyant and too large to be in a relationship with anybody long term. if that's true, what is my fate in life? Where will I end up? I'll be alone and old and used up and not beautiful like I am anymore now.
And that's why you're calling this station, LA right. Talk Radio. We're all androgynous. Every one of us is male and female. Some men are more female than male. Some women are more male than female. We are all on a continuum. Every one of us has a right to build a relationship. It is the natural right of a man to want diversification in sexuality, whether you're gay, whether you're straight. You have to decide if you want to build a relationship of monogamy, continuity, and longevity. When you find somebody that you feel chemistry for, you don't. This is where the gay guys get in trouble. They get into the sex act before they negotiate the deal to make love. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they don't build well.
Right.
I'm writing a book with a colleague, gay man, and we're going to be calling it From Both Sides Now, because Getting to I Do is my book for straight people, but From Both Sides Now is my book for gay people. And, sir, do not listen to your friends. I want you to decide you want a relationship, and you want it monogamously, and you want to see each other continuously, and you want to build something. In fact, in some states, you can get married. You can build an estate. You can get kids. You can do all kinds of things that you formerly could not do. So I don't care how flamboyantly feminine you are. You too can make commitments.
Great. I think that's going to make him feel a lot better. He seems very stressed out in his messages. All right. And I think we have time for one more.
All right.
This lady says, I have a male friend who has a romantic interest in me. He told me about a year ago of his love for a married woman, but it ended several years ago. He's a passionate runner, and so is she. They train together. He still Fine. Talks about her, and I don't feel comfortable about them meeting for training. Am I being insecure? What if I ask him to stop training with her? What do you think?
Well, I already expressed the tool in one of the last callers. If you're uncomfortable with him talking about people, then let him know. Make an appointment. I want to tell you something that's uncomfortable for me. When would it be convenient? Now, okay. You have every right to gossip and talk about your last girlfriend who was married, whatever. However, it's turning me off. And if you want to turn me off, keep it up. If you don't want to turn me off, stop.
Now, can she actually ask him to stop training with this ex?
No, she can tell him that it's turning her off that he does it.
Right, okay. So hopefully that one...
He has a right to do whatever he wants, and she has a right to leave. But she does not have the right to tell him, you know what? I want you to stop seeing anyone. It's called, you have every right to see whoever you want. But if you do, I'm going.
Exactly.
You okay. see, monogamy is not only sexual. It is social. David Buss has a wonderful book, and it's called Dangerous Passions. And he talks about the positive nature of jealousy. If you're not jealous of your loved one, your in-loved one, you're not in love.
Right.
Territoriality is concomitant with being in love. If you don't have territoriality, your business partners, you may be lovers,
mm-hmm.
but you're not in love. You're not building.
Right.
On the other hand, if both of you are players and both of you want other lovers and open, if you want an open relationship, negotiate it, but you both have to want it independent of the other.
Makes sense. Hey, Dr. Allen, we're out of time. What do you have to say?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Thanks, everybody. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook. Tweet with us because we love your little bird sounds. And don't forget, sign up for the newsletter and visit www.drpatallen.com. I hope you tune in for the webcast after this show tonight. And I hope you all have a great time. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks for being with us on our new time and our new day.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.